Well, this morning, we're going to continue in the series that we jumped back into last week titled, The Bible, A True Story. We had actually taken a little break from this series when we first started doing these online services because I felt like God was wanting me to kind of go a direction during that time to talk about some things that focused on the moment and times that we found ourselves in. But last week, I felt led to jump back into this series that we actually started 2 years ago. It's crazy to think that, but it's a series that has taken us through the entire Old Testament, and now we find ourselves in the middle of the Gospels, in the middle of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And last week, we looked at a story in Luke where Jesus healed 10 lepers. And I have to admit, God led me in some directions I didn't originally intend on going with that message, but I really believe it was a timely word, and I would encourage you that if you missed that message to go back and watch it or to go back and to listen to it. You can rewatch it on our Facebook page, the Dallas Four Square YouTube page. You can rewatch it on our website. You can also listen to it on our website as well, and so I would encourage you to do that if you hadn't. But today we're gonna look at another scripture in Luke as we look at one of Jesus' parables. All throughout the Gospels, Jesus shares these amazing parables or stories or illustrations that help bring light to the spiritual truths that he was trying to teach to those who would listen. Spiritual truths that can impact and ultimately change our lives if we listen to them and begin to apply them to our lives. Now, if you grew up in Sunday school, I'm pretty sure you might be familiar with the parable that we're going to look at this morning. It's the story of the wise and the foolish builder. And many of us know this parable from an old Sunday school song that we used to sing. It went something like this, you know, the wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, right? The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down, and then go, the rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down, you know, floods came up. You know the song. I think it's kind of weird doing it here in front of the camera. If I were to do this in church, usually I'd have people sing along with me. And I don't know if anybody out there is singing along with me. I'm hoping that you are. But you know the song. And the person that built their house upon the rock, the house stood firm when the storm was over, right? And then there's the second part of the song that says, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And when the rains came down and the floods came up, the house on the sand went splat, right? Some of you remember that song. Some of you are tracking with me. Everyone else is thinking, man, this dude is whacked here on the screen. But let's dive into the story and look at what God wants to speak to us this morning through this parable of the wise and the foolish builder. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along. If not, we'll put it up on the screen here this morning. But this is what it says in Luke 6, 46 through verse 49. It says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came and the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation." In Matthew, it says on the sand, "The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." Now, again, as I just mentioned, this parable is found in both Matthew and in Luke. And because of that, we know that this parable comes at the very end of Jesus' most famous message. It's known as the Sermon on the Mount. And people had gathered all around him, and they were listening to these challenging, thought-provoking words on how to live life. And so Jesus finishes with this final parable, this final illustration. And here's the thing. Jesus, he has this way of putting people into two different groups, right? we're either this or we're that. We see Jesus do this all the time in the scriptures, that there are the sheep and the goats, right? There's hot and cold. We're right, wrong. And in this story, it's the wise and the foolish. And the wise and the foolish are the ones who hear and put into practice, and those who hear and don't put into practice. We see that here. And the problem is, so many of us, we try to find a middle ground. But the thing we have to understand is that with God, there isn't a middle ground. We're either this or that, plain and simple. We're told in Revelations that if we're lukewarm, if we're in the middle, he's going to spit us out of his mouth. As a matter of fact, it actually says vomit us out of his mouth. So Jesus makes it clear that there are only two categories that we can fall into. We're either wise or we're foolish. There is no in-between. And this isn't Christian or non-Christian, because the truth is there are many who call themselves Christians who I believe fall into the foolish category. There are many out there who call themselves Christians that I think have somehow, somewhere along the line, gotten off track. And so I want to go back and I want to look at the words that Jesus speaks right before he shares this parable, because I think it will give us some better perspective and help us better understand what Jesus is saying here in this parable. Now, in verse 46 of Luke 6, as we read, it begins with these words, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" But if we flip back to Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, we'll see a more in-depth retelling of what Jesus says right before he shares this same parable that we read in Luke. Listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" And then Jesus goes on to share the parable of the wise and foolish builder right after that scripture. Now tell me this. Don't you find these words of Jesus in verses 21 through 23 a little bit scary? They are for me. These are some pretty amazing things that Jesus talks about people doing in these verses. He talks about prophesying. He talks about driving out demons. He talks about performing miracles. These sound like things that Christians would be doing. Yet in the end, Jesus says, "I never knew you. Away from me." That's some pretty scary stuff. Why would Jesus reject these people that did these things? Well, I think he actually gives us the answer there in verse 21 when he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father." That's the key right there. Jesus concludes the entire Sermon on the Mount by saying, "You must do the will of the Father." It's not enough just to believe what he believes or to think what he thinks. We have to do what he says to do. We have to live the lives he's calling us to live. We have to walk out his commands. And that's what this parable of the wise and foolish builder is all about. That's the two categories Jesus is referring to in this story: those who do what he says and those who don't. And the question we have to ask ourselves is which one are we? Which category do we fall into? Are we like the wise man who puts God's word into practice. When we read in Matthew 22 that we are to love our neighbors, are we doing that? When we read in Ephesians 5 and it tells us to love and honor our husband or wife, are we doing that? When we read in Proverbs 31 where it tells us to speak up for those who can't speak for themselves and to defend the rights of the poor and the needy, are we doing that? When we read in Matthew 28 about making disciples, are we doing that? When we read in 1 Corinthians about fleeing from sexual immorality, are we doing that? When we read in 1 Peter 4 about using our gifts to serve others and put others first, are we doing that? Do we thank God in all circumstances? Do we love? Do we forgive? Do we put others first? These are the things God is telling us to do in His Word. And the reality is, we could go on and on and on and just make ourselves feel worse and worse, but that's not my point this morning. My point isn't to make us feel bad. The point this morning is to challenge us. To ask ourselves, are we truly living the life that God has called us to live? You see, one of the major problems for I think a lot of us is that we're real good at making excuses. I know the Bible says to do this, but it's hard. I just don't think I can do it. I know God says to forgive, but man, they hurt me. And I don't feel like I can forgive them. I know we're supposed to love everybody. But have you seen this person or that person? Man, they drive me crazy. I know we're supposed to be humble. But when you're Mr. Right, how can you be humble, right? I know God's word tells us not to have sex outside of marriage, but we love each other and we're going to get married anyways. I know I'm supposed to serve others, but I just don't have the time. Like I said, we're real good at making excuses. And please know, I am preaching to myself this morning as well as anybody else. Because all of us need to get better at listening to the Lord. And all of us need to get better at actually living it out. Putting it into practice. Listen to what Jesus said earlier in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 7:14, he says this, "Small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life. Only a few find it." The fact is, God doesn't want our excuses. He wants us to find the narrow gate. He wants our obedience. James talks about this in James 1:22-25. Listen to what he says. He says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." We can't just listen to the word. We have to live it out. We have to do it. You know, I wonder how many people are watching church services all over our nation today, listening to sermons, nodding and affirming what the pastors are saying, but once it's over, maybe even before it's over, turning it off and forgetting what was said. That this message today isn't about beating us up for all that we failed to do. This message today is about challenging all of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus to truly be people who follow Him, to listen to His voice and to live out the life that God is calling us to live. If we want to be the wise man in this parable that Jesus talks about, then we need to hear Him and put His words into practice. Now, I want to look at one more example from the Scriptures that I think can help encourage us this morning. It's found in Luke 5, and it's about Peter. I love Peter, one of my favorite people in the Bible. It's found in Luke 5, verses 1 through 6. Let me read it to you. It says this: "One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon Peter, and he asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch.' Simon answered, 'Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets.' When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break." What an amazing story. Now Peter's response here is the response that God desires from each and every one of us. "Because you say so, I will." What if that was our response to everything that the Lord asked us to do? What if we always said, "Because you say so, I will." With no excuses, no delays, just simply, "All right, Lord, you said it, I'll do it." You see, God didn't just write the book on life. He didn't just give us this Bible with all these things. He created life. And He knows better than any of us. Which is why we have to open our ears and listen to Him. Which is why we need to take our fears, our concerns, our excuses, and anything else that keeps us from following Him. We gotta lay them at His feet. And we have to come to that place where we say, "Because you say so, I will. I'll do it, Lord. I'll trust in you." You see, the thing we have to understand here in these Scriptures with Peter is that what Jesus was asking of Peter didn't make sense. Peter was a fisherman. He knew how to fish. And he had fished all night and now wasn't the time, in the middle of the afternoon, in the middle of the day, it was not the time to catch fish. It could be argued, actually, that the time of day when Jesus told Peter to let down his nets, that was one of the worst times to ever fish. But because Peter did what Jesus told him to do, he experienced the biggest catch of his life. The promise of Jesus in Luke 6 is that if we build our life on Jesus, if we hear His word and put His words into practice, our life will be like the house built on a solid foundation. It won't come crumbling down. When the rains come and the rains come down and the floods come up, whatever it is, you know the song I'm talking about. When all that happens, we'll stand strong because we're on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how crazy our world gets. It doesn't matter what the enemy throws at us. We can stand firm on the promises of Jesus. And we need to know, and I think we need to understand, that the storms will come. We're in the middle of some right now. Whether we're a follower of Jesus or not, life is tough, and tough times come. Because building our house on the rock doesn't mean we won't experience storms. But it does mean that when the storms come, we'll be able to stand strong in Him. It's like it says in Romans 8, 37 through 39, where it says, "In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." He's our foundation. And the question we all have to ask ourselves is this true of us? Are we hearing and putting what we hear into practice? Are we doing our best to walk in obedience? And I want you to hear what I just said there. Are we doing our best? Because I think striving to do our best, that's the key. That's what Jesus is looking for. Because none of us are perfect. We're going to fail at times in our lives. We're going to have those times where the world gets the best of us. But are we doing our best? Are we picking ourselves up when that happens and pushing to move forward, striving to live the lives that God has called us to live? Are we living for Him and walking in His ways? Are we taking those steps every day that move us closer and closer to Him? Because if not, the ground beneath us is just sand. And sooner or later, it's going to wash away if it hasn't already. What is our foundation? What is our life built upon? There are so many things that we can build our life upon other than Jesus. And many of us do. For some, we build our life upon religion, where we seek to follow a bunch of rules and regulations, trying to earn our own righteousness, instead of building upon a relationship with Jesus, who paid the price for our sin and opened the door for true righteousness. For some of us, we build our life upon money. We know what Jesus says about money. What does one profit if they gain the whole world yet lose their soul? Money comes and goes. There is nothing stable about money. We're seeing that in our world right now. For some, it's education. We can get all the education in the world, but if we don't follow the commands of Jesus, it will just make us extremely smart fools, right? Education is good, but it cannot be our foundation. For some, it's our careers. We work and we work to get ahead, to work our way up the ladder. But what do we really get? More work, more problems, and no life. And the reality is, businesses go under, companies fail. Again, we're seeing that in our world right now. And the next thing we know, we find ourselves having to start all over. And for some, that foundation is other people. Maybe it's our spouse. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's our parents. But guess what? It doesn't matter who it is. The reality is, people will fail us sooner or later. Nobody's perfect. We all fail each other. And what happens when that person that we've built our world around, what happens when they fail us? What happens when something happens to them? What's going to happen to our world in that moment, in that time? We can't build our lives upon other people. And I could stand here and name thing after thing that we might be building our lives upon, but the point is, anything other than Christ is a waste. Building on anything other than Him is building our lives in vain. Building on anything else will end up with a house that will come crashing to the ground. As John says in 1 John 2:17, the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. I believe this is ultimately what Jesus is talking about here in this parable. He's talking about a foundation that leads to an eternity with Christ versus a foundation that leads to an eternity without Him. And it all comes down to the life that we live, to following His commands. Are we hearing and putting into practice the things that He speaks to us, or are we just hearing and doing nothing about it? What is the foundation that our lives are built upon? If you're listening today and can say, man, I know my life is built on the rock. It's built upon Jesus Christ. Then my encouragement to you is keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing whatever God is telling you to do. Keep putting the things of the Lord into practice. Because every day, every single day, we have to choose to follow Him. But if you're listening today and beginning to think that maybe my foundation isn't as solid as I thought it was, my encouragement to you is to first evaluate the areas where your foundation may be weak. Where are the areas that you haven't been listening to the Lord? What are the things you've been building your life on that you shouldn't be building them on? And then we need to begin to seek the Lord to rebuild those foundations in our life. And something I want you to realize is, you can't just lay down a solid foundation overnight. It takes time to rebuild that foundation. It takes time to build that solid foundation. It takes time of diving into His Word, hearing His voice, knowing His desires for our lives. It takes time to build solid Christian relationships and accountability to help us on this journey. It takes time to develop new habits and new commitments to counter the sins and failures in our lives. But it's these things that will help us begin to take those steps towards the solid foundation that Jesus desires for every single one of us. It starts by making Jesus Lord and Savior of our lives. The Savior part is recognizing our need for Him, realizing we need His grace and mercy upon our sinful lives. And then making Him Lord. The Lord part is then living for Him, obeying His commands. It's hearing His Word and putting them into practice. And if you're watching today and haven't made Him Lord and Savior of your life, I encourage you to do that with me as we pray this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the parables that You share in Your Word, the stories and illustrations that point out, Lord, the truths that You desire us to live. And Lord, You desire us not just to hear Your Word, but to then act upon it, to then live it out. And so I pray that for each and every one of us. I pray that wherever we are at right now, that, Lord, we wouldn't allow this message to beat us up, that we wouldn't allow this message to cause us to have shame that keeps us from coming to You, but that these challenges would drive us closer to You, Lord. These things that we're challenged to do would help us to say yes to You this morning, Lord. Yes to You as our Savior, confessing our sins, giving those things to You. Yes to You as Lord, knowing that now we need to begin to live the lives that You've called us to live. We can't just know these things. We can't just say, yeah, those are good things. We actually have to live it out. And so my prayer is that You challenge us today. Show us those areas where maybe we're not living it out. Show us those areas where maybe we're falling short. Show us those areas where maybe there are some cracks in our foundation that we need to shore up, Lord, so that we can find ourselves on that firm, solid foundation of You. And so we give You this word, Lord. And again, I am so thankful that You are a God that meets each of us where we're at, Lord. You know where each of us are on this journey of following You. Some maybe are just beginning that journey. Some have been doing it for a while. And through time, the weathering of the storm, we've allowed ourselves to fail and to fall and to struggle a little bit. But regardless of where we're at, Lord, we are so thankful that we can put our past behind us and begin to live the lives that You've called us to live today, right now, in this moment, in this time. And so, Lord, we give You this word. May You allow it to challenge us, to encourage us, to meet us right where we're at, and to help us get back on that track of building the foundation that You desire for our lives, Lord, a foundation that is built on nothing but You and the promises of Your word, Lord. And so we give You these things to You this morning. We thank You and we praise You for them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.